Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, and I want to wish you a Happy New Year. We will be digging into this United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. But first, some news has surfaced that requires me to give you a birther update. Looks like Tingle Legs, and that's Chris Matthews of MSNBC, has joined the chorus calling for Obama to settle the question of his birth certificate by releasing it to the public. What an idea. Imagine. Okay, so what does this do to all the Obama bots who keep telling us he already has released his birth certificate? You must be the only ones on the planet by now who still do not know that the certificate he has posted on his website and circulated about is nothing more than a certification of live birth, which is different than the birth certificate. And the challenges to its authenticity, by the way, inspired him to remove it from his site for quite a time. You see, what we've been calling for is the release of the one he's been paying so much money to keep from being released. That's the one we're interested in, the long-form cert that actually provides the information critical to the question of whether he is a legitimate candidate for the office of POTUS, which is President of the United States. But I'm asking myself, what is it with these people? Birther basher Tingle Legs Matthews finally comes out with this call to Obama to show the cert. I mean, after months and months of dismissing the birthers. So now Tingle Legs calls for the pres alleged to show the cert. And obviously he's talking about the one Obama does not want anyone to see. Not the one he's shown us, the one he's hiding, the one he's keeping from the public, the one he has spent something like $1 million to hide. You know, along with his college records, medical records, etc., etc., etc. Does Tingle Legs really expect that after Obama has, what, put $1 million out? You know what? I know my liberal friends, some of you are saying, Obama didn't spend $1 million, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, talking to liberals, it's like trying to pin something on a teenager. You know, they pull this sort of thing all the time. Okay, he didn't spend $1 million of his own money. But his lawyers, who have been running all over the country, filing briefs to block every effort to get this information, have been paid by somebody. And what they have been paid comes to about $1 million for their efforts to keep his records from the public. I mean, Obama has succeeded at keeping his personal birth, medical, and education records the most carefully guarded, top secret in America. Matt Moore Gray, an avid fan of the Brain Massage Show, who hosts for us our podcast site, sent me an email from a friend who observed, quote, if our government really wanted to keep our classified secrets secret, they should have them kept in the same place that Obama's college transcripts and birth certificate are kept, end quote, har har. And he adds, a quote, apparently these are also WikiLeak proof, end quote. Anyway, it amazes me that Tingle Legs Matthew supposes he can expect something so reasonable from Obama. He asks, hey, why won't the president say, send me a copy right now? How did he put it? Quote, let's just get this crappy story dead, end quote. Well, that seems apt. It is, after all, a very, very stinky story. And the stink is all over Obama. And I can't help but that picture of Obama with a fly walking across his mouth just popped into my brain right now. Isn't that just totally weird? I mean, what is it with this president and the flies already? Did you see the picture of the president battling this fly buzzing his head and then landing on his lip? I've never seen this sort of thing happen to a president before. Stop the images. Good night. There's this. There's the pig head covered with flies and the kid going crazy and calling the pig head Lord of the Flies. You don't know the story by William Golding titled The Lord of the Flies? No? Oh, man, you've got to get that book, or I think they made a movie of it. You know, however, as I think about this, the correspondence between the president alleged and that story is, well, kind of scary. These kids were the only survivors of a plane crash, all boys below the age of 13, by the way, without adult supervision. So they organize a sort of tribe, you know, and everything goes into chaos. But there is this one scene where a kid named Simon, one of the three leaders that arise in the group, he finds a wild pig's head on a stake with flies all over it. Ew. And he calls this pig head Lord of the Flies. and he thinks it's talking to him, right? So, you know, I can't tell the whole story here, but these kids start killing each other, and it gets real bad until finally an adult shows up, and the whole mess comes suddenly to an end. So we've got this pig-headed fellow, you know, stubbornly obstinate is the idea of pig-headed. Hey, HuffPost admits it. So this pig-headed fellow, you know, as in he wants the Americans he blames for the mess to just shut up. You know, we could go on and on with examples that justify this adjective being used for him, pig-headedness. I mean, take Obamacare and his refusal to show his birth certificate. So I rest my case. We've got this pig-headed fellow who appears to be talking to us when actually he's talking to a teleprompter with an insectomagnetism. You've heard of animal magnetism. I guess I'm pushing the meaning here a bit, but the point is he attracts flies, okay? And and everything is going into chaos with him in leadership. And God help us, will an adult please step in to supervise this childish behavior of our government before we all, well, I mean, just destroy one another? You know, hey, the new Congress might prove to be the adult on the property that will bring the children under some control. But I got to get back to my show for today. Okay, so Matthew's tingle legs thinks that, what, because he asked for a reasonable response from Obama to this whole birth certificate controversy, that now, all of a sudden, President-elect Obama's going to say, well, okay, guys, huh? Is Matthews really this gullible? Is he this slow? Is he such a totally hypnotized zombie? Remember his jibe at Bachman. Is he so mesmerized by Obama's boyish smile that he recently said was so cute that he actually thinks he can expect Obama to behave reasonably? Amazing. Well, Obama is not going to suddenly reverse his position on this because Matthew suddenly, you know, experienced a single shaft of the light of reason penetrating his otherwise darkened mind. And he wakes up just a little blink or two and he says, hey, I know, let's kill this crappy story by doing the obvious thing and releasing the long form cert to the public. But anyway, I got to move on to our discussion of Obama's support for the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. But one more thing. You heard about the new governor of Hawaii's announcement that he intends to get in there and get to the bottom of this Obama birth certificate controversy. Now, of course, his motivation is to protect Obama's legitimacy and the integrity of his presidency. So this governor said something that I had not thought of, but it really does put increasing pressure on Obama to release his birth certificate. He said, quote, the president is entitled to the respect of his office, and he is entitled to have his mother and father respected. It's an insult to his mother and to his father, and I knew his mother and father. They were my friends, and I have an emotional interest in that. It's an emotional insult. It is disrespectful to the president. It is disrespectful to the office, end quote. You know what? I agree. And it never occurred to me that the president's alleged unwillingness to release his birth records were actually an insult to his parents. But you know what? Abercrombie is right. Not only is Obama pig-headedly stiffing, that is cheating the American people, out of their right to know whether he is constitutionally eligible to hold the office of president. Not only is he pig-headedly, and that is stubbornly, obstinately refusing to make his education and birth records public, he is actually shaming his own mother and father and inviting disrespect for the office of the presidency. And everyone tells us this is a non-issue. Well, you know, then, if there is no problem here, why not release the long-form birth certificate? That, my friend, is the obvious question. That is the, shall we say, white elephant in the room. Well, you've noticed that both Matthews and Abercrombie have suddenly gone dark on this issue. Someone got to them? You know, explained things to them a little bit, huh? The pig head talked? And they're running scared from that crappy story? I'll be right back. My dear friends, we are so honored to have you partner with us in this mission to radiate the minds of Americans with light of truth therapy and then thrust the sword of truth into the belly of the dragon of lies to shine the light of God's truth into the minds of those blinded by the dark lord of hell. And now I have a great way to bless you while you bless us. I know, over some 30 years or so, I've written melodies to many of the Psalms, and over those years, many have enjoyed them. Chapman have desired me to put them on CD so they can sing this new song to the Lord in their own heart, using his words right out of the Bible with my melodies. I've been asked to produce a CD for many years, and we finally have done it. It's simple, but honest, and everyone who's heard it so far has told me they think it's great, so here's the deal. Every Singing Psalms album, either in CD or download, that we sell, we get $3 toward the Brain Massage Show. You're going to enjoy it, especially if you like the idea of singing right out of the Bible. The cost of the CD to produce it and all that kind of thing, $7, but we're asking for $10 so the Brain Massage Show can get $3 as a donation. Will you do that and help us out? And I know you'll enjoy that CD. It's easy to order online, and that's at www.santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the bookstore button, and you'll see the picture of the CD cover for Singing the Psalms album. If you want a physical copy of the Singing Psalms album, it's on top of the list of products. And then you go to checkout and follow the prompts for making your payment through PayPal or by credit card or debit card or whatever. And if you purchase anything online, you'll be familiar with the territory. Now, if you would prefer to pay online and then download the Singing Psalms album right away, well, select the second one. You'll receive the email with the link within a few minutes after you complete your payment. Now, perhaps you don't do the internet thingy, you know what I mean? So what you do is you call our toll-free message hotline and leave a message informing us that you want one of these CDs mailed to you. And one of my representatives will get back to you and help you process your order over the phone. Now, of course, there's no limit to the number of Singing Psalms albums you can purchase, hey? I mean, many buy them for themselves and for friends and family. So help us out if you can and order a Singing Psalms album today, okay? I would really appreciate it, and I know you're going to enjoy this album. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter and one of God's melody writers. And, well, all-around great guy to have at your side in the culture war. All right, let's talk about the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. My copy from the UN website is a 9-page document with a lengthy preamble, a little over 2 pages, followed by 46 articles stipulating in language as broad and as comprehensive as possible and vague what the UN declares to be the rights of indigenous peoples. All right? Now, it's worthy of our notice that Bush, President Bush, would not sign on to this declaration because he considered it vague and open to interpretation, not clarifying protection for the rights of those who presently hold title to lands and property. Specifically, Bush was concerned about Article 26, which he said was, quote, particularly unworkable, appears to require recognition of rights to lands without regard to other legal rights that would already be existing, end quote. Now, he was concerned that the text, quote, could be misread to confer upon a subnational group, say American Indians, a power of veto over the laws of a democratic legislature, end quote. And he made it clear that, quote, we strongly support the full participation of indigenous peoples in democratic decision-making processes, but cannot accept the notion of a subnational group having a veto, end quote. Well, I certainly agree with that, and I've read it, and he's right on. However, Obama's not concerned with any of this. You know why? Well, because he's convinced Americans today must be punished for what some Americans did 100 and 200 years ago. Men whose posterity, by the way, is virtually gone, who are wholly unrelated to the Americans living here today. Look, the insanity of this is obvious to sane persons who are not in the Hate America Club or who are not trying to get power and riches by playing the victim dictum. Think about that. I'll explain it some other time. Look, according to Obama's principle, if an Indian tribe raided a peaceful white village that was settled by whites with the consent and cooperation of the Indians in that area, either by purchase or mutually beneficial treaty, and if these Indians raided the village and raped the women and pillaged their goods and destroyed their property, which did happen sometimes, well, according to Obama's rule, we need to lay the burden of the shame and guilt upon all American Indians living today, even 100 years later, and even if they're not particularly indirectly related. And then we need to shame them every day in our media and claim they owe us, man. They owe us. And I say that is ludicrous. And by the way, it is unrighteous. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Quote, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him, end quote. Ezekiel 18:20. And it's always the same with these characters, you know. The Obama victim dictum is offensive to reason and offensive to God's righteousness. And then on top of that, it is hypocritical. Do you not realize that the victim, you know what, this victim dictum, I'm going to have to explain it, aren't I? Okay. The victim dictum, you know, that's the game of taking the position of the victim in a relationship and then clubbing the conscience of the accused aggressor into submission to whatever the victim wants to dictate, hence dictum. Now, you see that played out all the time in society, perhaps even in your relationship. Someone in an argument plays the victim card, trumping up some claim that they've been victimized in some way by another class, usually another ethnicity, and then they harp on it, making all sorts of demands and trying to gain sympathy from enough people to create a club of public opinion or to bring under the influence the power of certain people in power, and then using them or manipulating them to club into submission the rest of the people to pay off some bully bribe, you know, and it never ends. I mean, once they get a taste of this, they just keep piling on, and that's what I call the victim dictum. When those who use victimhood to bully others into surrendering to their dictums, all right? All right, now the main principle of Obama's victim dictum actually works against him because his rule is more appropriately applied to the present-day American Indian. Why do you say that? Well, they are, in the main, actually descended from the powwow traders, who actually are the ones who betrayed their descendants, but that's another matter. But the American Indian today is actually more traceable up to the savage Indian who sometimes did commit horrible and inexcusable atrocities against peaceful white settlers, with as much prejudicial hatred as anything that burned in the heart of any scallywag white guy. Hey? It's true. You know that. And now let's look at the situation with the whites. So many different groups came here over so many years. Not only from Britain and France, but Germany, Switzerland, I mean, all over Ireland, Russia, all over the world, people who had nothing to do with any of this nonsense. But no, Obama lumps us all together. And so do you see why God says you cannot punish the children for the sins of their fathers? In this case, most of the white people who would be punished by Obama never victimized anybody, and neither did their father or their fathers before them. It's a bunch of absolute, well, you know, the stuff that draws flies. Anyway, here you go. Quote, Obama announces support for UN resolution stating indigenous peoples have the right to the lands they have traditionally owned, occupied, or otherwise used or acquired, end quote. Oh, yeah. Here's another headline. Quote, Obama to give Manhattan back to Native Americans, end quote. And another. Quote, Obama announces support for UN resolution, end quote. And then this particular article begins, quote, President Obama is voicing support for a UN resolution that could accomplish something as radical as relinquishing some U.S. sovereignty and opening a path for the return of ancient tribal lands to American Indians, including even parts of Manhattan, end quote, and et cetera, and so on it goes. One of the first things I notice in this document from the UN is that there is nowhere a definition of the key word in this declaration, and the key word isn't the word rights. It's the word indigenous. Before I examine the specifics of this crazy resolution, the first thing we have to do is understand what is meant by the word indigenous. A modern definition, as you know, from the onboard Apple computer I use, this dictionary here, is, quote, originating or occurring naturally in a particular place, end quote. Now, an older dictionary, such as the 1913 Webster's, offers this, quote, number one, native, produced, growing, or living naturally in a country or climate, not exotic, not imported. And then two, native, inherent, innate, end quote. Or we can go a little older and get to the 1828 Webster's American Dictionary, which I prefer, which offers, quote, one, native, born in a country, applied to persons. And then two, native, produced naturally in a country or climate, not exotic, applied to vegetables, end quote. All right, so aside from the fact that the in 1913 it was decided that the meaning of the word as it applied to vegetables was enough. And so from then on, dictionaries gave the word no special meaning when applied to people, which is interesting, since it was also in the 1913 edition that we find the following example of the word used in a sentence, usually done, by the way, to clarify meaning, right? And it goes like this, quote, Negroes were all transported from Africa and are not indigenous or proper natives of America, end quote. Hmm. Now, did this editor intend to imply that no blacks are, quote, native, end quote, Americans? I mean, even those born here? Are you noticing something here? In 1828, the word was understood as having a particular meaning as it applied to people, and it identified those who were born in a country. And now keep in mind, by the way, that the words indigenous and citizenship should not be confused. There are indigenous people who are not citizens, and there are citizens who are not indigenous. Anyway, this is interesting because it shows that the meaning of the word indigenous is malleable. I mean, that means it's susceptible to change. In 1828, it applied to anyone born in a country. But by 1913, it is defined as something native that is produced or growing or living naturally in a country or climate that is not exotic or imported. Well, you think that would apply to any human being produced, growing, or living naturally in America, right? But then the example of how the word might be used in a sentence applies it to people and says that because Negroes were, quote, all transported from Africa, are not indigenous or proper natives of America, end quote. You got to think about this a little bit, but this is very interesting. Was this done in order to segregate Negroes from white Americans? Because if it was, it's going to backfire because all the honkies were transported here too, you know. You know, like in the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria, or the Mayflower for that matter, all from Europe. And according to this definition, they are not properly natives of America. So you begin to see the problem. Now, here's my first point in this whole thing about protecting the rights of indigenous peoples. The first thing you've got to do is define the word indigenous. And we have seen that the definition is not so straightforward as you might have thunk. And when a word might have some ambiguity in its meaning, it is necessary, therefore, to disambiguate the term. In fact, it is a well-known principle that in any formal discussion, it is necessary that you define your terms. You can't get more formal than a UN declaration that has the impact this thing could possibly have. So the first thing we need from the UN is, sirs, what exactly do you mean by the word indigenous? Sirs and madams. If you mean what we all agreed it meant back in 1828, well, then anyone born in this land is, of course, native to the land, since the word native actually refers to birth, you know, as in nativity. And by the way, the word indigenous roots back through Latin in two words, indu, which means in, and the root of the Latin word gignere, I think that's how it's pronounced, which means to beget or bear, which together make a word that means begotten in, or we're back to nativity, or the place of one's birth. So you see, the 1828 meaning is closer to the, shall we say, indigenous meaning of the word, the inherent meaning within the actual term itself. In this case, the UN Declaration might apply to all of us whose native country is America. And so the matter becomes nearly moot, as in having no practical significance, which pretty much applies to almost everything the UN does, right? But that's another discussion. However, to listen to Obama and the progressives, that is the state-owned media a la Rushbow, or the Marxist socialist media worldwide, you'll be inclined to conclude, well, that the word refers exclusively to the American Indian. You know, certainly at least with regard to the United States. Now, and as I proceed, I think you will agree, or at least appreciate why you should. Now, I have already shown you that the word indigenous has become amorphous, that is, without any clearly defined shape, you know. From 1828 to 1913, the most used and authoritative dictionary in America dropped the whole native as referring to someone born in the country and used the more amorphous idea of something native as referring to something produced, growing, or living naturally in a country or climate, you know, that was not imported. And clarifying that as meaning the Negroes are not proper natives of America because they were all transported from Africa. Now, agreeing that it is reasonable to suppose the editor for the 1913 Webster's Dictionary did not mean to say Negroes, you know, we probably should use the word blacks because while Negroes was the accepted vernacular in early 1900s, today we say blacks. But then only if you say it with a certain PC attitude. That is, unless you are black, and then you can say whatever you want, any way you want. But then, you know, that depends on whether you are culturally black or only physically black. And oh my, it's getting so confusing. But anyway, we may suppose the editor for the 1913 edition of Webster's was not trying to say all blacks are disqualified from being Native Americans simply because their forefathers were transported here from Africa. Because if that is what was intended, well, then this definition will also rule out the white cracker cake eaters, right? Because their progenitors were transported here from Europe. Now, this means that none of our founding fathers, black or white, were properly natives of America because they were not born here. But they were legal citizens of the country, so their posterity are, by this definition, proper natives of America because they were born here. As in born in the USA, this view of the meaning of the word native is clearly the founder's view of the word, and it is the reason the Constitution tells us that no person, except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution, shall be eligible for the office of president, end quote. Now, you see, they understood that the founders were not, quote, natural-born citizens, end quote, so they provided that those who were citizens at the time of the adoption of the Constitution would be qualified to hold the office of president, which is appropriate. But beyond that, they envisioned the rule would be natural-born citizen, or those for whom America is their land of nativity. If you are born here, you are a native, baby. So you see, everything depends on how you define indigenous. Clearly, the best authority is on the side of birth country. You are a native of the country of your nativity. That is why the Obama birth issue is so critical. The Constitution requires the individual who holds that office must be a natural-born citizen. That is, someone whose citizenship descends upon him or her by virtue of their birth status. And that status must be natural-born, meaning they have to have been born in the country, with a special dispensation extended to the children of military parents born to them overseas while in service to their country, like John McCain, whose eligibility was, by the way, challenged on this very ground by progressives, the hypocrites, and who, by the way, John McCain was upfront, honest, forthcoming on the issue, provided all the documentation, and subscribed to all the laws applying to satisfy any question about his eligibility to hold the office, you know. And so the matter with regard to John McCain died a natural death without leaving a crappy stink, shall we say. Thank you, Matthews. The point is, everything depends on the meaning of the word indigenous. And it is very interesting that the UN chose to avoid addressing that important question. And in America, apparently, it has been decided by fiat of the liberals that the word means the American Indian. For example, notice, quote, Obama backs UN Indigenous Rights Declaration, end quote. And then in paragraph, let's see here, 13, here's a quote from Obama. Quote, we know that Native Americans die of illnesses like diabetes, pneumonia, flu, even tuberculosis, at far higher rates than the rest of the population, end quote. How about that? It's obvious that, you know, when he refers to Native Americans, he does not mean moi. He doesn't mean most of you who listen to me. And although I've got a pretty good dose of Cherokee in my own blood, by the way, but not enough to inspire any of my brothers to adopt me into one of the tribes. But hey, wait a minute. Obama is an honorary member of Crow Nation, is he not? And I'm descended from Cherokee, and I wonder how they got along. If I know my Indian history, by the way, those Crow were obnoxious to their fellow Indian tribes, quote, in perpetual war with the surrounding tribes, end quote. And they were noteworthy for especially despising the whites. However, they found them too profitable to just kill off, so they would simply raid their homes and plunder them regularly. Wow, is this perfect or what? Man, you know what? You can't make this stuff up. It just sort of falls into my hands sometimes. President-elect Obama, an honorary member of the Crows, a tribe that was known as having a peculiar despite for the white man and always trying to plunder him. That's too good. But my point here is that progressives all over the world consider the Indian to be the only legitimate natives in America. And you know what, fellow white feathers? You had better wake up and start very loudly affirming your native right to this land. You are sleeping, and while you sleep, these people are undermining your nativity, your right to be identified as indigenous. You were born here, and this land is my land, and this land is your land, and I'm a Native American. I see this as a very, very serious issue, my dear friends, and I'll be addressing it in at least one segment of each of the next few shows. But call me and leave a message for me on my listener response hotline, 1-888-770-8000. All right, God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.